A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host as we explore the changes at work in the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues that are challenging arts organizations and institutions. We'll look at the impact of the economy, technology, and society on the arts, the importance of arts education, and how these organizations and ensembles are adjusting and innovating as they face the future. Today, we'll hear about a new effort to support and promote the work of women choreographers in the ballet field. The American Ballet Theatre next season will launch its Women's Movement program, which will work with several women choreographers each year. I'll speak with Artistic Director Kevin McKenzie and Jessica Lang, one of the choreographers whose work will be included in the coming season. As part of A Tempo, we're pleased to bring you some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. The Pennsylvania Ballet has named James K. Payne as the next director of the School of Pennsylvania Ballet, beginning with the next school year. A former dancer with Ballet West and Houston Ballet, Payne served as the company manager at Houston Ballet before founding the Payne Academy of Ballet. Originally created in 1962 by Balanchine student Barbara Weisberger, the Pennsylvania School of Ballet was revived in 2012 after a 20-year hiatus. There's nothing like a royal wedding to boost the visibility of a classical musician. 19-year-old cellist Sheku Kane Mason has soared to the top of Britain's classical charts, as reported by Official Charts Company, which compiles the country's music charts. Kane Mason played a moving rendition of Schubert's Ave Maria and several other works at the wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, now the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, garnering an instant international audience. According to Official Charts, his CD, Inspiration, reclaimed its position at the top of the classical charts that it had reached earlier this year after its February release, and this week rose to 11th on the official albums chart. The recent sales surge has also made it Britain's best-selling album by a cellist of all time, surpassing that of Julian Lloyd Webber in 1990. The CD is also currently in first place on Amazon's classical list and third on Amazon's overall list of CDs and vinyl. His music wasn't the only thing that caught fans' attention. Apparently, the maroon socks by designer Paul Smith that he wore at the wedding caught so many eyes that he's inviting people to post a photo of their socks on his Twitter feed, and he'll choose one lucky follower to receive an identical pair. Those are just some of the headlines this week from around the arts world. Glass ceilings in the classical music world have come under growing scrutiny in recent years, with increased calls for a greater female presence in orchestras, on the conducting podium, and as composers. The issue has also been raised at ballet companies, where, even with such a female presence on stage, the choreography is still predominantly done by men. A new program by the American Ballet Theatre seeks to address that. Beginning this fall, the ballet company is committed to working with at least three women choreographers each season. For the coming inaugural season, ABT will feature works by Michelle Durance, Lauren Lovett, and Twyla Tharp at its gala, and will also work with choreographers Jessica Lang, Claudia Schreier, and Stephanie Batten-Bland. Lang first premiered the work with ABT in the 2016 season through ABT's Women's Choreographers Initiative. Kevin McKenzie is the Ballet Theatre's artistic director.
I wanted to get three different levels of participation from women choreographers at the workshop level to give a choreographer the chance to work with dancers from ABT and or ABT's studio company so that they would have the chance to work on really highly trained classical dancers and challenge their horizons, both challenge the dancer's assumptions and give the choreographer a chance to maybe experiment with a development of an idea or a development of vocabulary that they would be interested in exploring. So it's totally exploratory. The second level is to work with the studio company level, which is a junior company to the main company, if you will. It's that group of dancers just out of high school and under 20 that they're just defining what it means to become a professional dancer. They are fully trained and ready for a job, but that program is about also trying to finish them off and learn how to be a choreographer's tool. And not just to study and train to dance well, but to learn how to learn. And then, of course, the main company, commission work on the main company. So it's our aim is to do it at least three choreographers a year, one on each level over the next 3 years. And the truth of the matter is we're starting it officially this fall, but the reason we made it official was that in practice we have been doing it. So I thought, why don't we make this, you know, somehow we seem to be the best kept secret here. When I sat down to schedule next fall, I realized I had four women choreographers in the season for the main company. And I thought, all these stories are circulating that where are the women choreographers? And it seems to me that there's a lot of women choreographers. And so that's what sort of prompted us to make it official.
Well, what has the trend been like at the ABT over, say, the last 5 or 6 years? Is this something that's just really come to the forefront regarding your specific seasons? And how has it ramped up?
Well, I think that, you know, we have, our resident choreographer is also our artist in residence, and he's literally a genius. He's a MacArthur fellow, and he has dominated the new creations for over the last 10 years. But I always commission other choreographers. It's not just solely Alexei Radmansky. And in the last, I'd say, 5 years, I've commissioned, or let's put it this way, I've revived some Twyla Tharp work. I've commissioned Jessica Lange 2 times, and I'm commissioning her a 3rd time. We commissioned Lauren Lovett from the New York City Ballet for the Studio Company last year, and have worked in workshop mode with Pam Tanowitz more than once, ready to start seeing where that can go. And that's over the last, 3 to 5 years that's been in the planning aspect. The thing is, during the last 10 years, as an artistic director, one of the things I do is to try to keep on top of what's out there, what's the new statements, who is emerging, who's established, and try to balance a participation within our rep and also, offer any support that I can. And over the last 10 years, I had found quite a few women choreographers, but they had not quite developed their own voice yet. So I had just sort of put it on the back burner. I thought, I'll check in with them in 2 or 3 years and see how their current work is. And when I did that second round, I realized, now they're not just channeling the choreographer that they had grown up with. They're starting to infuse it with a real point of view of their own. And then they went on my list. I wish I could commission 6-7 people a year, but I'm not in a position to do that. So it just keeps going on in a forward-looking way.
What would you say, from the perspective as artistic director, what are some of the challenges that you find ballet companies having when it comes to being able to program works by female choreographers?
Well, I don't think that there really are problems. I mean, the problems isn't about being a female choreographer. It's about being a choreographer. It's the single, for any ballet company, it's the single biggest risk. You don't know what you're going to get. You have to invest with faith and hope and that it's going to be a good work. So the equation is like for a business is risk. How much risk are you willing to take to try to achieve excellence? And that doesn't apply to men or women. It applies to the craft.
Well, let's look specifically at the choreographers who will be included in this first official season starting next fall. What in particular made them the perfect candidates to start for this first year?
Well, as I say, it's a continuation of we're starting a relationship, and one doesn't just do one-offs. You try to build on the success of a piece, or try to give the choreographer a chance to explore a different area of their creativity. So you know, I think going forward, put your strongest foot forward. You know, we certainly have a relationship with Trilotharp. We have a relationship with Jessica Lang, and we have one, although not with the main company, with Lauren Lovett. So with those, I would like to, you know, give the chance to build a little something with, and Michel Dorance is a new experience for us. So it'll be a matter of juggling through time which ones are recreating for the first time and which ones will have the opportunity to build a little rep within ABT.
You mentioned back a few years ago finding some that were just at the earlier stages, and now you feel that they've really come into their own. You know, there has been some pushback I've seen in the press, both over this program and, you know, some other, as this issue has really taken the spotlight in the past year, a sense that women choreographers are judged a little differently in terms of they're seen as up and coming and we need to develop them, as opposed to here's a choreographer who we want to work with. How are you approaching that? Are you seeing this more as a training opportunity or as an outright commissioning work,
initiative? No, I think all of it, as I would whether it was a man or a woman. You know, I refute that argument because I do that with men also. You know, I look at emerging choreographers and see which ones show a propensity for something that would interest working at this level. And when they start to get closer to it, then I start engaging them on some level, but don't just suddenly give them a full length at the Metropolitan Opera House with American Ballet Theatre. So there are really established women, and you know, like Trilotharp, like Jessica Lang, like Michel Dorance, who, although she hasn't really worked in a ballet company before, so that's a, you know, that should take a little, but she certainly got the chops to work in a major ballet company. Lauren Lovett is just starting, but she's working in a major ballet company. So there are others that are not quite there. That's why I want to give the chance to work with either the studio company or in workshop. I mean, one has to use one's judgment relative to the talent, and the talent isn't relative to man or woman. It's talent. It's ability. It's so I, you know, personally, I refute that because that's not how we operate here.
Absolutely, a lot of discussions and debates in the news and out there.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
This is a multi-year initiative. Any sense about how long you'll continue this formally, or any thought looking long term?
I think that in the long term, what I hope to do is develop a relationship with a group of choreographers who really click with the company. And, you know, eventually one's going to hit critical mass where I can't work with them all. And, you know, I think that it'll just become what we do. It won't be an initiative. It'll just be what we do. That is the point. That's why we're calling it, you know, the women's movement, you know, as opposed to an initiative, because you have to initially let people know that we're doing something about it. But ultimately, it's the goal is, I want to identify a group of really good choreographers and get to the point where it doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman. It's the good choreographers are the ones that are working with ABT. That's my objective.
So going forward, what how do you feel ABT then is really helping to bring this whole issue forward and onto another level?
Well, by the fact that we're acting on it, that we're commissioning women and that we're giving them the chance to experiment. And, you know, hopefully we do that well enough that then men will start banging on the door and say, well, what about us? We want in too. You know, it's ultimately, I think we have societal injustices and imbalances that run throughout society. I would like to think that in this art form, when we're talking about the creators, it should be genderless. It should be the people who click with the company, who click with the artists, who challenge our assumptions, who show a propensity to hold a mirror up to society and say, look at this. This is the time in which you're living.
One other opportunity that you'll be offering is as part of the new annual residency with Duke University. And I did want to just ask, what types of other opportunities, both in this sense and other artistic visions, will that residency with Duke University provide?
a number of things. One of the things that it will correct is a something like 19 or 20 year, or even longer, absence in the Southeast for ABT to perform. But I think moreover is the crossover with the studio company to do residencies to create in situ there at Duke, in a learning process of a group of people who are all the same age. Because in the end, it's that next generation's, it's in their ball court. They're going to define what our culture is like in 30 to 40 years.
That was Kevin McKenzie, Artistic Director at the American Ballet Theatre. I also had the chance to speak with Lang, who has choreographed two works so far for the company.
I think it's a wonderful moment in the world right now for women. There's a lot of attention coming to various points about equality. And, it's been something noted that there is a lack of female choreographers in the ballet realm. And I've been working as a choreographer for almost 20 years. And I think it's really wonderful that, you know, we're taking notice and we're trying to make a difference, really make an impact.
Personally, what are you looking forward to as part of the work you'll be doing through the initiative?
Oh, I'm really looking forward to the collaborations that I'll be exploring. So I do a lot of work with the other art forms that are on the stage or the potential for taking the stage. So scenic design, lighting design, costume design. And I'm really looking forward to exploring the art of Sarah Crowner. And she will be my collaborator both visually and for costumes. So I think that will be a really remarkable experience for us. And my lighting designer is, again, Nicole Pierce. And, you know, here we are talking about women, and I have this collaboration of three very successful female artists.
As you said, there's been a lot of attention. It's been discussed quite a bit in the media, social media, and in various circles more and more recently. What would you say have been and are some of the major challenges that have faced women choreographers as they've been trying to develop and develop a foundation for their careers?
You know, I think it's really, we should be really careful about how we express the lack of female choreographers, because in modern dance, we have such a strong history, and even in ballet, there's a history of, you know, female presence, but, we have Martha Graham and Agnes DeMille and Ruth St. Denis and Twyla Tharp, and it's not that there is a lack of female presence in all of dance, it's really primarily in ballet. And I think it's really just important that we take it to the point of making sure that there's an education for all young, yes, dance makers. I would say dancers, because that's how you start to explore the art of choreography. But I think it's really important that we educate in a younger area. In ballet, in the genre of ballet, that we bring creative classes and courses into the school so that we kind of plant seeds to imagination and potential beyond a dancing career. That if you study dance, it's not just about that is the only art form to be a dancer, but there are so many other possibilities for the future. And I think it's really important that we take this initiative and jump off with the feeling that we need more female voices in choreography. But the bigger question is, how are we going to actually change it so that we're not discussing this 10 years from now and that there really is a difference in the ballet world?
What in particular do you think has made it such a challenge, particularly within the ballet world, as opposed to, as you said, modern dance and some other forms?
Well, I think it's just inherent to the ballet vocabulary. You know, if you think about the training of a young dancer to a professional, when you're very little, you're learning creative movement. You're just running, you're learning patterns, you're playing with scarves, you're doing different things you're basically exploring your own ideas very in a playful way. And when we start to become more disciplined in the art form of ballet, and we learn how to make shapes and be very exact in our movement, that the freedom of expression in the body becomes less about, you know, making choices and doing something that is, that you have to be. And it's judged on that particular step or line or physicality, and that is just inherent in ballet. So you can't change it, but you could add to it. And I'm always part of the educational beliefs that the more you add to your, you know, repertory in the more you have and you grow in your own artistry. So it's not about making all dancers choreographers, but it is about, you know, giving creative classes early on so that there is a sense, at least, of the dancer you're developing, the dancer who knows how to work with a choreographer because they've tried to make movement themselves. I think, you know, it's just the inherent discipline of ballet that it required such a form of attention to the body. And in choreography, you need an attention to imagination.
Well, what was it in your experience that was kind of the light that went on in your mind that pushed you or nudged you towards choreography above and beyond, you know, the dance side of things?
I guess if I really step back and think about, you know, why did I end up here? When I was younger, little, like 8, 10, 12, I was dreaming about ideas, stories, thoughts, sculptures, so to speak, with the body. When I got to Juilliard, I had never heard of, you know, composition. It was taking composition there that I first started to learn that there was a craft to making dances, or there were lessons to be learned or taught and kind of poked at your own imagination. And it was at Juilliard that I actually started to feel connected to that more so than performing. And I went on to get a professional job dancing with Twyla Tharp's company, Tharp. And it was, you know, it was what I trained to go to Juilliard for. But then when I was about 6 months into that experience of touring the world and performing in major venues all around, I realized I missed the creative process. Even as a dancer, whether or not I was in charge of the room, which I had hardly any experience, but I really wanted to be in the studio making dances. And I didn't know if I could. And when the company folded, I set out on this journey. And like I said, it'll be 20 years in September.
Looking at predominantly the ballet world, you've also, in addition to ABT, you've also worked with the Kennedy Center. You've worked with Joffrey Ballet. At what point in the ballet world did you start to feel that you had made it?
Oh, God. I don't know if I still feel like I made it, to be honest. I mean, every job, every challenge to get a commission is an opportunity to succeed or to fail. Every time you make a new work, you have to you just have to grow. You have to find a reason to grow. I know I didn't call myself a choreographer for at least 6 or 7 years into making dances because I felt like it was an insult to those who actually do, you know, are our living American or any culture choreographer. It was just really important to me that I didn't say I'm a dancer on Tuesday and on Wednesday, because I stopped dancing, now I'm a choreographer. It doesn't work like that. And it's really important that in this idea for this women's initiative and in all the initiatives that are taking place in the dance world, that we don't say the problem's fixed just because you put a woman on the playbill and said she's a choreographer. You know, it's really important that we have opportunities at every level to make dances. And you have to make a lot of dances to start to say, like, do I have talent? Do I have interest? Can I do this? You know, and it's a lot more than just putting steps together to music. That's the confusion, I think, about the art form of choreography, and it's about educating the public. And the more you have the opportunity to choreograph, the better you get at it.
Well, I frequently am able to speak with composers, and this is a question that comes up, and I realize it's probably just as relevant for choreographers as well. And that's, you know, you work hard, you get that commission, it's premiered. Then what? Is there, what types of challenges are there in making sure that that piece becomes a living part of repertoire out there?
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's a difficult situation in that you make a great work and then another company comes along and they want you to make another new work. And I'm making my 100th ballet right now, today. That's what I was doing on Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater. And that shows you that I've had a lot of interest in my work, but it's a lot of interest in making new work. So it is, you know, a part of my next step, so to speak, is licensing the works and making sure that there is, a presence elsewhere, and that those ballets that I spent, that there was a lot of investment in making, that they do live on and be seen by audiences around. I think that's, you know, why else are we doing it? So it is a focus of all choreographers, I think, that they work hard to keep the quality of their work there and present, but you have to get it out onto a group of dancers in front of an audience for that to happen.
Mm-hmm. And circling back to ABT, you'll be working on a new work for them for the fall season coming up. Any details or any thoughts on that you can share about what that will involve?
Well, my collaborator is Sarah Crowner, who is a visual artist, actually born in the Philadelphia area and grew up in Los Angeles. And her art form... Well, I'm always interested in visual art and making it kind of part of a scenic design. And her art is just, I think, really going to transform the space at the Koch Theater in October. And it really gives me a place to step off of her art and the scenic design. That'll be something that kind of drives this piece. We don't have music chosen yet. We're in the very early stages, actually, of our creative conversations, but it will be visual and beautiful.
That was choreographer Jessica Lang, one of the women whose work will be featured by the American Ballet Theater next year as it launches its Women's Movement Initiative to support women choreographers beginning this fall. You can read more about the program at abt.org. I hope you enjoy the conversations that I bring you each week on Atempo that focus on the changing dynamics and challenges in the arts world. But remember that programs like this are made possible only through your support of this station. To become a member of the Classical Network, go to wwfm.org and click on Donate. Thank you for being a member of the global listening community that is the Classical Network. Thank you for listening to A Tempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. Join me again next week as we explore more issues and trends in the world of the performing arts. A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you.